church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. It's good to be in the house of worship, isn't it? And let's give God a praise offering for the fact that it is He and He alone that has kept us this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arms. We bless the Lord today for all that He has said, and all that has been said, and all that has been done heretofore in this service to honor His name. And we know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine, ask, or think. Amen. It is good to be back in the pulpit. It's been about 3 weeks since I've been here. And we thank the Lord for all of our preachers that have come and shared with us. Put this screen up. I want to give you a sense of what's happened over the last several weeks. Going all the way back to July 28th, which is the last time I shared in service, because the next 3 weeks, the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th, were all Sundays where I found myself either traveling or have been away traveling. And I thank you for your prayers. But on the 4th, we had dynamic preachers in the Reverend's Branch. It's always a joy to have H. Bernard Branch and his wife, Sister Charlene, to come back and be with us. And they are now co-pastors, as many of you know, down in Norfolk, Virginia. And we are excited about what God is doing in them. So that was the first week I was away, which is 2 Sundays of the cruise that I do. And some of you went this year, and I'm so very happy that the Burroughs, Deacon and Deaconess Burroughs, were able to travel on the cruise this year. That Sister Antoinette Scott and Sister Evelyn Talaferro Higginbotham was able to travel on the cruise this year. They raised a hand over there. And also Sister Roberta and Brother Floyd Morris were able to travel on the cruise again this year. So it's a lovely time. Again, it isn't a religious cruise, but we have religious services on board. And this year, one of the featured artists was Mary Mary. We had a worshipful good time on the ship. 3,000 people of African descent floating in the Caribbean Sea on 3 different islands. So if any of you are interested in next year, I'm not a promoter. I'm not the promoter for the cruise, but because I've been doing this for 16 years, I know it is a wonderful opportunity to fellowship. And some of many others of you have been over the last many years. Mitzi and Wayne and others of you have come and shared with us. So next year we're leaving out of Puerto Rico, and we're going to be going to Aruba and Curacao and a few other islands. So if you're so interested in sailing with us for our 23rd sailing of Festival at Sea, go ahead and Google festivalatsea.com, www.festivalatsea.com. So my wife and I are privileged to serve as kind of chaplain and chaplain assistant. That's her official title, chaplain assistant on the boat. And so I lead Bible study and do worship service. And this year we renewed anniversary vows for 60 couples on the ship, which was a wonderful occasion. And among them were the Burroughs. They renewed their wedding vows, I believe, after 45 years of marriage. How many years, Sister Burroughs? It was 45. And while on the day before they renewed their wedding vows, Deacon Burroughs celebrated, was it his 70th birthday? 74. All right. So let's give God a praise offering for 74 years. And we bless the Lord. So that's always the first Sunday and second Sunday of the month of August. Next year, that should be a month or a week earlier, the last Sunday in July. So any of you interested, please talk to one of these individuals, and certainly they will tell you it's a great time. And the last Sunday, I was in Northern California for my home church's, the ordaining home church, the Greater Friendship Baptist Church in East Menlo Park, California, for their church anniversary. And it was a great fellowship, and I'm grateful. So these last 3 Sundays, again, the branches preached the first Sunday of August. The second Sunday was Pastor McBride from Shiloh Bordentown, who will be celebrating his anniversary second Sunday in September, 3 weeks from now. We'll be with him. And then Reverend Dr. Polk was here at 11 o'clock on that second Sunday. And then on last Sunday, how many of you enjoyed the Reverend Charles Levi Martin? Amen. Amen. Let me say this. Whenever the pastor's away, the mice play. Amen. So a lot of folks say, pastor's not there, I'm going to not go to church. I'm going to go visit. Well, when folk miss, you miss your blessing at your home church. And I think each of these three Sundays that I was away, I'm not going to give you anybody, amen. These were men and women of faith who were able to certainly break open the bread of life. And I think folk who missed last Sunday and the Sunday before last know that those who were here know that those men and women were blessings to the body of Christ. So if you were blessed over these last 3 weeks, give God a praise offering. For certainly, I'm grateful for these men and women who preach the unadulterated word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And listen, let me just poke out a little somebody. Don't tell folk because the pastor's away, don't come to church. Amen. Tell them, come on to church. You never know what your blessing is going to be. And I thank the Lord for those of you who certainly were plugged in and connected while I was away. And then I want to give you a little preview about what's happening over the next 5 weeks. So on September the 1st, next Sunday, we're going to be having the Reverend Dr. Samuel Reeves preach. He is our mission family connection to the West African country of the Republic of Liberia. He is always here on Labor Day weekend. He's here for the summer. And listen, this is an opportunity for him to raise financial support for him and his family. He preaches in these 12 weeks all over the country, and the financial wherewithal of a rebuilding country in Liberia is challenged. And so much of his support comes when he is out away from his home church, building support, not just through love offerings, but making connections through philanthropic organizations, trying to raise money to help the ministry back in Liberia. And those who have traveled, again, Sister Deborah and Sister Mitzi and others of you, Deacon Harris, who've traveled to Liberia, know the challenge, the economic challenges. And yet, in the middle of economic challenges, those folks still know how to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus and have worship like none other. And so I am proud to support him and to call him a friend. He will be preaching on next Sunday, and so I ask that you come next Sunday ready to really give support to the Reverend Dr. Samuel Broomfield Reeves Sr., right? And then after that, I will continue to preach really for the remainder of the year, from September 8th all the way through, with the exception of the third Sunday in November, which is our men's emphasis culmination. And so, I do my vacations, my 4 to 6 weeks of vacations throughout the year. And although I don't take the whole summer of the whole month of August off, these three Sundays tend to be Sundays while I'm away. So we bless the Lord for being rejuvenated, and we praise God. And some of you say, I hope your vacation was nice. I said, well, I haven't had my vacation yet. But it's hard to not have vacation when you're teaching Bible study on the Caribbean Sea in the Grand Caymans, right? So I stole a little bit of time away when we went off zip lining in the top of Mystic Mountain on Montego Bay. And so we thank God for the opportunity to worship, minister, and have a little time away. This week is actually the time that Melanie and I will be going away for our vacation. It's our 11th anniversary. Give God praise offering. I'm giving God a praise offering. Deacon DeCosi, grab me one of them roses over there. Grab me one of them roses. I got to make up since we came in late and missed the anniversary time. So grab me one of them roses. Amen. I don't need a whole bunch of them. Just one. Just one. I ain't messed up that much. Just one, just in case. Honey, may I present this rose to you? A rose for a rose. Happy anniversary, honey. And don't stick me with any more of those thorns. Our 11th year anniversary, we're celebrating. We always go to Williamsburg, and time for the family, us to do a little bonding, sliding down water slides at Water Country, and riding roller coasters at Busch Gardens. That's how we spend our family time away. And y'all pray for us as we leave tonight, and we'll be away this week. So praise the Lord. Thank God for all that he's been doing. I have been doing a sermon series on the life of Abram, whom we have come to know as Abraham. And so one more slide before I ask you to stand up. Over the last several weeks before I left, going all the way back to November of 2012, we preached a sermon about out of the, what I'm considering the first iteration. And although I wasn't doing a sermon series then, I'm doing it now, which is out of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12 begins Abram's life. His story, I should say. And it is where we first encounter Abram and God telling Abram to get out of his father's land to a place that he would show him. And so Genesis 12, and then over the last several weeks of the summer, before I departed, I did a series around Abram's life. Genesis, out of Genesis chapter 12, talking about the places in which Abram, right, deepened his faith. These locations that he, God led him to. And then on the 21st, continuing that story as he is the consummate man of faith in the Bible. And then on the 25th, we talked about Trayvon Martin, and that's where we had our church fellowship, had to change all of that in-house. But I wanted to don the attire of young Trayvon as a reminder to us of what our young black boys and young African-American women and Latino and even some of our poor white children are dealing with when they are stereotyped and profiled. And so those were all lessons and sermons out of Abram's story, which is told between Genesis chapter number 12 all the way through Genesis chapter number 25. And over the next several weeks through the month of September, I will continue these lessons and this sermon series in talking about lessons from Abram's life. And so I'm grateful today that we can come today's sermon and share another iteration in this ongoing series about Abram's life. Abram, I want to talk about when God changed his name. I'm going to talk about Abram's decision to sacrifice his son Isaac, which was a tremendous decision that he had to make. And then I'm going to talk about, is there anything too hard for God in how God meets Abram at his point of need in wanting a child to continue his legacy? And so those are all iterations in the story of Abram. So the Lord has me, for whatever reason, dwelling in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12 through 25. And I want to invite you now to stand to your feet and turn with me to today's lesson, which is out of Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 13. And as the Lord has been having me to deal with Abram and his story, again, somewhat out of chronological order, but all core lessons, I think, for us as people of faith. And so say amen when you've located the text. Genesis chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. The Bible reads as follows. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Here is the reading and the hearing of God's divine and holy word. May it edify and continue to sanctify the people of God. What did you pray with me this morning? The title of today's sermon, Navigating Life's Intersections. Navigating Life's Intersections. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, pray that your word would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged today. May minds be illuminated today. May souls be convicted today. I pray, O God. Holy Ghost, continue to dwell in this place. Continue to have your way, Lord, and continue to just move us to higher places in the name of Jesus. If there's someone here who doesn't know you in the pardon of sin, I pray, dear Lord, that today, by the word of God, that they will surrender and submit and accept the free gift of everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're about to do. Have your way, God. And we shall be careful to give your glory, praise, and honor. It is in the name of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer, that we do pray that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say, Amen, Amen, and Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. So last Sunday, when I was at the Greater Friendship Baptist Church in Menlo Park, small church, fits probably only about 50 people at most. But it was the place where the Lord really allowed me to minister and to grow in my early stages of the ministry to which he had called me. And that was a 3:30 service. I was there to preach their annual church anniversary. And that earlier that morning, I had gone to the St. John Baptist Church, which was the church I had been at before the Lord led me to go to Greater Friendship. St. John was a much bigger church. It probably sat some 500 folk, and yet the Lord at that time of 1990-1991, I was at a crossroads in my ministry. I was at an intersection in my ministry, and the Lord, I heard clearly through the voice of a dear friend, the Reverend Floyd Tompkins, say to me, clearly the Lord is moving you to this smaller church for you to serve. And I didn't know exactly all of what I was going to get out of moving from the quote unquote bigger church to the quote unquote smaller church. And that intersection proved to be a time when I heard from God, went through the intersection, and began to have a wonderful opportunity of service under a pastor who's now deceased, the late Reverend Dr. Thomas J. Cooper, who took me under his wing and really helped groom me and form me in ministry. And I'm grateful for the late Reverend Dr. Thomas J. Cooper. Grateful also for the Reverend Robert Fairley, who was the pastor of St. John, who also understood that I was at an intersection, gave me his blessing to go. And so it wasn't a negative thing in departing from St. John to go to Greater Friendship. And now I feel whenever I go back to Northern California, I have these two wonderful church homes, in addition to Holy Light, which is the home church in which I grew up in Southern California. And here's the point of the story, that there are life's intersection. There are intersections in life where you and I need to make decisions about where God would have us to go and what God would have us to do and who God would have us to be. As I sat at the St. John Baptist Church for the 11 o'clock service, their pastor now, the Reverend Dr. Ricky Williams, preached a sermon that is similar to the sermon I'm preaching today. Different text, but same genre. He talked about life's intersections. And as I sat there, as I rarely have the opportunity to do, to sit in the pews and allow a preacher to minister unto me, as I'm often the one in the pulpit ministering unto God's people, I sat there and I really received. And he said he came to a four-way stop. And at the four-way stop, four cars approach at the same time. Now, you all probably have been there, right? What do you do when the four cars pull up at a four-way stop sign intersection? How are you to proceed? Well, the rule is, right, I think as I learned it in California driving school, that you always defer to the car on the right. That so when you stop, the car on the right gets the right of way. But if all four of y'all stop at the same time, then who constitutes the car on the right? And so Reverend Dr. Williams said, we all got to the intersection at the same time. And you know how it is. You're waiting for the other person to go. Folk are waving each other on. And so somebody decided, well, if they don't go, I'm going to go. So as soon as you put the gas, the other person puts the gas and you stop. So everybody's stopping and going at the same time. And he used that example as an example of what do you do when you get to an intersection and you're waiting on where to go and when to go, trying to avoid a crash, but making sure that you're observing all the rules of the road. Well, here's the point. I took that. I sat there and I listened to Reverend Dr. Williams, and he gave an awesome sermon. And so as I was praying about what the Lord would have me to preach today, and then I wanted to stay true to the sermon series, to preach about Abram's life, then this is one of those stories in Abram's life where Abram comes to an intersection, where Abram has come to a point where he needs to decide when to go and where to go and why to go. And what's interesting about today's lesson is Abram and his nephew Lot come to a point in their ministry when they have to depart from each other. And the question is, when you come to an intersection in life, how do you know it's time to stop? Or it's time to wait, or it's time to go? Reverend Dr. Williams used the 3 points of his sermon, red light, green light, and yellow light. And he talked about those three signs and symbols as times to stop in your life, times to wait in your life, and times to go in your life. I'm not going to go in that genre today, but I do want to simply say that I've been in points in my life, in my ministry, in my walk with the Lord, where I've come to an intersection and I've had to ask myself, Lord, am I listening to you as I've gotten to this intersection? Which direction should I go? Not only should I just go to a stop sign and whether to go through the intersection or not, but sometimes God may be telling me to turn right instead of going straight. Sometimes God may be telling me to get in the left-hand turn to go left as opposed to go right. And in some other cases, God might simply be saying stop at the stop sign and wait for further instruction. Listen, I don't know about you, beloved of God, but I've been in moments where I've sought the will of God and I've said, God, what direction do you want me to go? Where do you want me to turn? How do you want me to proceed? And how, in what situations do you want me to move in? And I'm here to tell all of the saints of God today that all of us are going to encounter some intersections in our lives. And you've got to make sure you're hearing the word of God and hearing the voice of God, because if you proceed through the intersection prematurely, you may just run into a crash. But if you wait too long, you just might miss your blessing. And if you go right when God told you to go left, you might just face a dead-end street. So it's so very important that when we reach life's intersections, that we listen carefully to the word of God and for the voice of God to direct us in how to proceed through life's intersection. Do I have a witness here this morning? I'm sure I'm not the only one who has faced some intersections in my life. I'm not just talking about physical intersections. I'm talking about spiritual intersections. I'm talking about emotional intersections. I'm talking about intellectual intersections. And if I analyze the situation too long, I just might get caught up in the paralysis of analysis. There is a time to go. There's a time to stop. There's a time to turn right. There's a time to turn left. There's a time to put your foot on the gas and move. There's a time to put your foot on the brake and wait for the direction from God on high. And all of that is so precarious because all of us don't want to make the wrong decision. But how many of you know I've just got a little bit of good news? Let me give you my punchline all the way at the front end of the sermon. Even if I turn right, God is still able to redeem my situation. Even if I turn left and I wasn't supposed to, God is still able to redeem my situation. Even if I go and I get caught up in a crash, God is still able to smooth over the rough places and straighten out crooked places. So I just want to give you a little bit of the good news that as long as you are following the will of God, everything is going to be all right. But if by chance you still mess up, God still has something called grace and something called mercy. I want to just give you three quick points as I share this sermon with you. I want to talk about the fact, number one, that God has situations that brings us to intersections. Number two, I want to talk about there comes a time when we must separate. And that comes in interesting and various forms. And I'm going to dwell on that in the middle of the sermon. And then lastly, there is the settlement of now that you've separated at life's intersection. The question is, where do you settle on the other side of the situation? So let me start first with Abram's situation. It's very clearly laid out in the text. If you look in verse number 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, the Bible says, now Abram, now this is whole after God told Abram to get out of his father's land to a place where God will show him. You do know that part of why Abram is considered the father of faith is because at every point of intersection, Abraham heard the voice of God and listened to the word of God and was directed by what God would have had him to do. And so at this point of the journey of the story in Genesis chapter 13, remember Abram in verses 1 through 4 in chapter 12 had already left. He walked by faith and not by sight. And then after he left, God made him a promise. And upon that promise, Abraham believed that God was going to deliver his promise. How many of you know God is a promise keeper? God will keep God's promises in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then I preached a couple weeks back on this journey that Abram went to the top of the mountain east of Bethel. You remember that sermon? And then he went to Egypt and he went to some of these other places, and each of them were lessons about how to listen for the word of God and through the voice of God. Abraham walked by faith. I know what it looked like, but here's what God told Abram to keep walking by faith. And then we come to this point of the story in Genesis chapter 13. Abram has left Egypt now. And the Bible says in verse number 5, I read it to you. Lot, his nephew, was also with him. And they left Egypt with great flocks and great herds and great possessions. And then verse 6 says, now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Here's an interesting point of the story. This whole issue of why Abram and Lot could not dwell together is representative of the many situations that befall us as we go throughout life. There are moments in our lives when we come to intersections and we've got to figure out what is the situation calling for. How did we get
to this particular intersection. God, why have you brought me to this place where I'm choosing between option A and option B and option C? What were the circumstances that led up to this particular decision that you have me to make today, oh God? Well, if you read further in verse number 7, it says that Abram and Lot not only had a lot and their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, but it says the real issue was between the herdsmen of their reflective lots or flocks. The herdsmen, those who kept their sheep, could not deal with each other. Maybe because the land was so small that they could not overgraze the cattle that each of them had. And whatever the reason, it says in the Bible that the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abram could not dwell together. And so it came to a point where Abram said to Lot, please let there, verse number 8, look at it and circle it in your Bible. Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Here's an interesting situation that Lot and Abram find themselves. They're related to each other. In point of fact, Abram is Lot's uncle, as the word gives us declaration. And as Abram was taking care of his nephew Lot, they came to this situation. Some might say no fault of their own. How they arrived at this situation. Listen, we can do a lot of analysis at how we got to our situation. But here's the question. Now that you find yourself where you are, what are you going to do and figure out how you got to where you are? But listen, I'm a counselor, and that's a lot of what I do. I counsel those of you who are individual members of our church. I counsel those of you who are premarital, postmarital, in the middle of marital. Some of you are dealing with issues on your job. Some of you are dealing with issues at school. That's part of what pastors do. And yet, the best counseling is when you can give folk enough tools to help them come to a decision, not from you, but on their own. And part of that is so that they then don't blame the counselor for what the decision is. They have to make that decision and own that decision for themselves. But the reality is, how does the counselor equip the individual or the couple with the tools in order to make the decision that needs to be made? And yet, in this conversation between Abram and Lot, what we find is Abram and Lot having strife, not between them, but between their herdsmen. The circumstances of their situation have led to the decision that they must now need to make. And it seems very clear that Lot isn't the one making the decision, that Abram is the one making the decision. Now, just with that brief biblical exegetical background, apply that to the lives of your life today. At what intersection do you find yourself? And the question is, how did you get there? What is valuable of looking at the intersection and how you got there so that you don't make the same mistake again? Because some of you know, after you get through one intersection, there's going to be another intersection. And after you get through that intersection, there's going to be another intersection. And so the tools that you need in order to analyze how to make the right decision when you come to life's intersection is really what's undergirding the text. Remember, Abram is a man of faith. And so for whatever reason, Abram comes to this decision that he and his nephew Lot must separate. And that is a hard decision that Abram comes to. It is, the Bible does not give us any emotional insight into the fact of the details of the decision, but here's what it does say: we are brethren. He says, let there be no strife between us because we are brethren. Let there be no hardship between us because we are brethren. And when I think about what that means when you are at life's intersections, it means let's not take this thing personally because we are brethren. There's some decisions where when you prune something, some other things begin to grow because you are looking for the end result, which is growth. And if I am at an intersection where I am dying, then the question has to be, Lord, I want to live because I know you did not die in order for me to die. You died in order for me to live. Let me say that thing one more time. You did not die, Jesus, in order for me to die, but you died so that I might live. And so when it comes to life's intersection, perhaps one of the things that you need to ascertain is, Lord, am I dying or am I living? Lord, I want to live. Lord, I want to be vibrant. Lord, I want to be on fire. Lord, I want more than what I have. Lord, I am in a place where I'm stuck and I'm seeking your face. Lord, I'm knocking on the door. Lord, I'm seeking your face. Lord, hear my cry, because something inside is dying within me. And so it is that Abram reminds Lot that we are brethren, we are connected, and that this decision that needs to be made is not to the detriment of you and me, but in point of fact, it should be for the betterment. And yet that decision should not be arrived at lightly, and it should not be arrived at irrationally. Let me say that thing again. When you are at life's intersection, listening to the voice of God, seeking from the word of God in what direction you must go. Listen, Abraham gives us a reminder that we are brethren and that I want you to live and I want to live. We don't have to kill. We don't have to hurt. We don't have to maim. And yet what the decision is should be based so that you and I might live. That's an interesting point undergird moments of intersection where there must be separation. Because at the end of the day, Abram's suggestion to his nephew is that we separate. And if you look in the text, it says, it brings me to my next point, which is separation. It says in verse number 9, is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Well, if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And right there, moment in this text, at this moment, I believe that part of what Abraham is saying to his nephew Lot is that I don't want conflict. And a part of fact, I'm going to give you the first choice of what land you and your herdsmen would take. As we have come to this intersection in which we have arrived at a decision that results in separation. And the separation that is discussed in the text is a moment in which Abram is saying to his nephew, I want you to have so that I might have as well. I want you to be okay, and I want you to know I'm going to be okay as well. He says, I want you to have first choice of the land that is out there, and so that you and I don't have any further conflict. If you go this way, I'll go that way. And I've been in moments in my life, and I'm not just talking about different situations, and I'm talking about some friendships in which I have had to separate from in order that I may continue my upward growth, because I realized that that which I was in was not helping me to get closer to the Lord, but was keeping me down further from the Lord. And it was a hard decision in order to say, if you go right, I'm going to go left. And if you go left, I'm going to go right. It's nothing personal. There's nothing that we need to hate each other, but I'm I'm seeking to grow in my walk with the Lord. And if there's anything and anybody that is keeping me from growing in the Lord, then I need to say, what do I do in order that I might live? Come on, somebody. And again, undergirding all of this is this notion of what is fruitful, what is best for me in relationship to God. Now, one needs to be careful about selfishness at a moment of intersection. Because listen, what's in the text is fascinating. Because at a moment when you are seeking to separate, understand that where you decide you're going to go has a lot to do with the decision to separate. Let me say that thing again. What Abram said to Lot is, when you are choosing the land, look at all of the land, and you have first choice, you have first dibs. And the Bible goes on to say, bring me to my third point of settlement. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 10, Lot lifted up his eyes, saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. And then it says in verse number 11, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. Here's my point. When Lot had a choice to look at the land that he wanted to settle in, all that he saw was that the land was well watered. But what he didn't see was who others were dwelling in the land. And here's what I need y'all to see. Stop looking at what it looks like and understand what is God telling you is the spiritual condition of the place that you're going to settle in after you have made that decision. You're not getting the point, are you? It looked well watered, but from afar the grass always looks green on the other side. It looked well watered. From afar things glitter that isn't gold. It looked well watered. It looked like I was going to have a better life. It looked like I was going to have more opportunity. But when I got into the land, I realized that everybody around me was exceedingly wicked. And so the decision is, stop looking at what it looks like and have God give you the spiritual assessment of what it is. Listen. At life's intersections, many of us choose to go left because it looks like it's more prosperous on the left side. At life's intersections, many of us choose to go right because you see a lot of glitter and a lot of bling bling on the right side. Come on, sisters, he gave you a big 2-carat diamond ring and you didn't look at the spiritual assessment of where he was. It looked well watered, but when you got there, you said, my God, this is a drought. Brothers, I know she looked like all of that, and she was beautiful on the outside, but after you didn't jump the broom and moved in, you realized that there's a drought, there's something wrong with what the picture looked like. I know y'all took that job because you thought you wanted the promotion, and more money meant your ability to pay off your debts, but when you got there, you realized something just isn't right about this picture. And here's my point. Before you go through life's intersections, stop looking at what it looks like on the other side and start praying about what it is. About what it is. It is interesting to me that Lot chose the land of Sodom, the plains of the east. They look good, y'all. It was well watered. I can imagine the grass was well manicured. I can imagine the trees were well pruned. Everything on the outside looked like it was what I should be choosing. But here's the point. Some of y'all, before you choose to go into life's intersection, ought to count the cost on the other side to ensure that you are hearing from the Lord about what direction to go. Now, I'm not saying you don't come to a point where you still don't separate. But make sure that which is leading you in making these decisions is of God and not of yourself. Yeah, there have even been moments in the church, the life of the church, where I've had to make some hard decisions. I had to do this and I had to do that. And it was not because of personal reasons. It was not because of this. But I believed that as the Lord was leading, God was moving. And there's some things I had to prune off in order for other things to grow. There's some changes that I needed to make in order for other things to grow. There's some movement of certain circumstance I had to make in order for things to grow. But at the end of the day, remember, we're still brethren. We still believe in the same God. We still call on the same Lord. We still believe in the same Holy Ghost. It's nothing personal, but in order for us to move forward, some other separation had to take place. Life's intersections. And listen, I can go from this situation to that situation. All of us have moments in our lives when we are choosing to deal and do in life's intersections. And I need you to understand the basis of the text today about Abram and his decision to separate from his nephew Lot. Was probably to no fault of his own. But they came to a situation in which a decision had to be made. Abram gave the first deference to his nephew. Whatever you don't choose, that. Now, here's the interesting hypothetical question. What if Lot had chosen to have another place and Abram ended up in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Here's my point. Remember how I started the sermon off? Whatever decision you choose, I hope you are choosing it based on the Lord God Almighty. I hope you are praying and seeking the face of God before you make any kind of decision. But here's the undergirding point. Even if I make the wrong decision, if I realize I made the wrong decision and fall on my knees and say, Lord, here I am, stretching my hand out to thee. I messed up, God. I went right when I should have went left. I went through instead of staying stop. I'm asking right now that you will step into my circumstance and straighten out my situation. Has anybody ever made a wrong decision? Has anybody ever made a wrong turn? But isn't God a God of grace and a God of mercy? He still heard your prayer. He still heard your cry. And I'm here to tell somebody that when I messed up, Deacon Smith, all I had to do was fall down on my knees and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw yourself from me, where shall I go? Lord, help me right now. Direct my feet. Order my path. Regulate my mind. Straighten out my crooked place. Smooth over my rough place. Get these demons off my back. I know I messed up, Lord, but forgive me, Father. Give me a second chance. And how many of you know that God is not only the God of a second chance, He's not only the God of a third chance, but He's the God of another chance. I'm so glad today that I serve a God that looks beyond my faults, hey, and sees my needs. Gives me another chance. So that when I get to that similar intersection the next time, maybe I had to go through something this time in order to help me on the next situation. Some of y'all are wondering why you in turmoil and chaos. Maybe it's not just because you messed up, but maybe because you messed up and God's trying to set you up for another blessing the next time. you, Lord. He knows more than I'll ever know. He sees farther than I'll ever see. All I've got to do is trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge that He is God. And He will what? Direct my path. If He wants me to go right, He'll direct me better next time. But it wasn't because He didn't direct. It was because I was hard-headed and hard-hearted and couldn't see it at the first intersection. But now that I got to the next intersection, I can see better now. I can see more clearly now because of what I've been through. So I thank you, Father, that you're still with me. Even when I get to a dead-end street, you're still with me. Even when I'm on the bridge and the bridge is about to go out, you're still with me. Thank you, Father. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank you, Father. When you're in the middle of it, all you can say is, help me, Lord. And thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, navigating life's intersections requires the faith of God's people to hear the word of God and to hear the voice of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those persons that at every intersection, Lord, what do you want me to do? Stop? I'ma stop. Turn right? I'ma turn right. Go straight, I'm going to go straight. Because if I can hear the voice of God, then I will have the blessings of God in the name of Jesus. That's all I got to say this morning. That's all I've got to say this morning. Make sure at life's intersections, you are hearing the voice of the Lord and let Him work everything else out. For your benefit and for His glory. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Ghost. Everyone, deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend an invitation to discipleship. The deacons and deaconess and clergy are going to help me extend this invitation to discipleship today. Someone here needed to hear the word. Because guess what? All of us get to life's intersections, don't we? And so the choir's going to sing a song. And part of it is to help someone to hear, continue to hear the voice of the Lord. Whomever you are and wherever you are, I want you to step out of your seat today if this message was for you and God is speaking to you in a way that He's never spoken to you before. Today is your day of salvation. You're at an intersection, you got to make a decision. Do I trust in the Lord or do I not? Do I keep doing the same old thing or do I do something different? And so today is my invitation to someone. Step on out of your seat. Go ahead and sing choir. As the choir sings, if you want to join the church, I want you to come right now. But if you want to give your life to the Lord, I want you to come right now. But if you want special prayer, just step out into the aisles and one of these men or women will pray for you. So the invitation is really about joining the church and giving your life to Christ in the name of Jesus. Come on, choir, sing. Look at God today. Somebody give God a praise offering. Give God a praise offering for our sister who's coming forward. Sister Donnie. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else today? Let God order your steps.
Order my steps in your word, dear Lord.
Let God order your steps.